The decisions that we make today determine the stories that we tell tomorrow. Think about that. And say it with me. The decisions that we make today determine the stories that we tell tomorrow. They can be stories of delight or stories of regret. It's really up to us. Choices that we make. Here's a truth. In heaven, there'll be all praise, right? In heaven, we will rock out in praise to God like we never have. In hell, there'll be no praise because there's no God, because Jesus will not be present. But on earth, we must make a choice. In heaven, we will praise. We will not be able to help ourselves. It will just be spontaneous. It will be glorious. In hell, but there will be no praise. But on earth, you must make a choice. On earth, I must make a choice. What am I going to do? Am I going to be swallowed up in the bottle of bitterness? Or am I going to fight against it with the weapons of Christian warfare, spiritual warfare that we're given in Scripture? We're all vulnerable to bitterness, are we not? We're all vulnerable to climbing into this bottle, drinking from this bottle of bitterness. Because every one of us, this is true about every single person in this room, your life has not turned out like you thought it would. There's something in your life that didn't turn out right. And you may struggle with bitterness over it. But God gives you weapons against such poison, and it is poison. If you've lived very long, you know the poison of bitterness. Here's the weapon that God gives us. Hebrews 12:28 says this, "Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, therefore, since we are redeemed, we're adopted into the family of God, therefore, because we have been chosen by God through Jesus, through His blood, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." I wish I could have said something spectacular and wow. But that's not what the writer says. He says, "Therefore, since we've received an inheritance that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful." It's pretty simple. Let us be thankful. Thanksgiving is a weapon. Thanksgiving is a weapon against bitterness. But it's a choice you have to make. You see, this is true. You might not want to admit it, but bitterness is a choice that we make. Bitterness is a choice that we make. And it's not your parents' fault. It's it's not Donald Trump's fault. And it's not going to be Donald Trump's fault. Your bitterness. Your bitterness is not your boss's fault. No, it is not your neighbor's dog's fault. Okay, we can scapegoat, we can throw excuses around, but our bitterness is ours. So is our thanksgiving. So is our praise. So is our worship. So is our delighting in our future inheritance. Our future inheritance ushers in a present joy that bitterness cannot kill, if we choose to delight. You see, you got to do one or the other. You can't be delighting in the grace of God and drinking from the bottle of bitterness at the same time. It's one or the other. And so the author of Hebrews says, let us be thankful. Let us be. All right? Meaning, let us actively pursue being thankful. This is about intentionality. What did you notice about this woman in the video? Very intentional about her quest towards thanksgiving. She's journaling. She's writing little thank you notes. She's thinking about the very ordinary parts of her day. And notice she didn't come home to Prince Charming. She came home to an empty house. Let us be thankful. The weapons of our warfare, be joyful always, pray continually. There it is again. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in every circumstance. In the monotonous, mundane part of every day, in the tragedy of life, on the mountaintop, in the valley, let us give thanks for every circumstance. For this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. In other words, doing this is going to help you. It's going to guard you. It's going to protect you. Here's something I want you to know about contentment. Contentment is satisfaction in God's sufficient provision. Here's the game that doesn't work. When I get this job, I'll be content. When I finish my basement in my house, then I'll be content. When my 401k or 403b, when it says a certain number, then I'll be content. When the scale that I step on says a certain number, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be content. No, you won't. Contentment is satisfaction in God's sufficient provision. You are where you are in your life right now because of God's sufficient provision. Today's life lesson, takeaway number one. Ready? Today's life lesson. Thankfulness, similar to contentment, is a choice. And it is a learned behavior. A learned behavior which over time makes a person beautiful, makes a person winsome, makes a person fun to be around. One man gets to work and he's at the coffee pot, talking to another man, complaining, drinking from the bottle of bitterness. And that man says, "Listen, I'm having a bad day, and my bad day is all I can take." You ever felt like that? That's another way of saying to someone, please be quiet. Or listen, put the bottle down and back away from the counter. And that's what God is saying. God is saying, get rid of all bitterness. How does that happen? It happens because we fight bitterness with a spirit of gratitude. We fight bitterness with a spirit of thanksgiving. And thankfulness, similar to contentment, is a choice. It is a learned behavior that gets better with repetition. So we should start every day with this thought. Every single day when I get up, I try to not even hit my feet. Every day when I get up, just like this morning, I just slid right out of bed, right on my knees. I say the same thing every morning. I will praise you while I live. I will praise you while I live. I will sing and make music in my heart to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, the thoughts of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I say the same thing every single morning. And I just say, God, help me in this fight. Help me in this fight against bitterness, against discontent, against wishing things could be different. And let me find simply my delight in you. Thankfulness is an attitude. An attitude is a choice one makes. A choice that does not have to be dependent upon my circumstances. Not my health. Not my wealth. Not my friends. Not where I live. Not what I drive. Not who's president. It doesn't have to be content or to be dependent upon anything. Whether or not I have a thankful heart is completely up to me. Whether or not I am bitter is completely up to me. I need you to say that to yourself this week. This week, that's your homework. I want you to go around this week talking to yourself, okay? Now, I know you already talk to yourself, okay? I talk to myself all the time. I consider myself somewhat normal. And I just want you to go around talking to yourself this week, and you just say this: if I'm bitter, it is my choice. Say it with me. If I am bitter, it is my choice. Okay? If I am thankful, if I am praising God, that is my choice. God has given me the Psalms to teach me that it's okay to be emotional with Him. The writer of the Psalms in the Old Testament expresses every emotion known to man. And these are prayers that are recorded so that you have permission to be honest with God. But it's not permission to be bitter with God. It's permission to be honest with God. There's a difference. So I want you to go around saying, listen, my attitude, my heart, these are my choices. This is completely my choice. Paul, in his letters, in writing to the Ephesians, says this: get rid of all bitterness. 4:31, Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Why does he say bitterness first? Okay, so while you're studying the Bible, you're always asking questions. If I read the book of Ephesians, I would probably write down 100 different questions. And one of the questions that I ask when I'm studying Ephesians is, why does he say bitterness first? And then it's followed by anger and rage and harsh words and slander and evil behavior. Where do all these things spring from? They spring from a root of bitterness, a tap root of bitterness. And the longer it's left unchecked, the more difficult it is to remove. About 4 years ago, this wee little fern sprung up out of the stones that I placed around the entrance into my basement in the back of my house, the metal cover. And I thought, that's cute. I said to Kathy, look at that little fern there. I think I'm going to leave it there. And I did. It was right in the middle. It looked like I planted it there. Volunteer, you know. Next year it was a little bigger, and it looked cute. So I left it there another year. And the next year it got a little bigger. And here's what I said to myself: I'll get it. It actually looks like it belongs there. Last year, I looked at that thing and thought, it's getting bigger. I get it. I didn't get it. This year, I said to Kathy, man, that thing's got to go. It's like taking over the back of the house. And so finally this fall, about a month ago or so, I said, all right, let's see what we can do here. So I'm pulling the stone away. I got the hose out and just left the hose there, run for a couple minutes, and I started to work. Serious rootage. Okay, it took me a lot of work. I basically got myself all dirty and muddy getting that thing out of there. It was a lot of trouble. Now, it's actually a good plant, so I transplanted it back along the highway here, because eventually I just want all pines. Once I'm looking at whatever stores are going in across the road, we're covering that up. But that's the way bitterness is. You think, you know, it's not a big deal. Until all of a sudden it just squeezes your heart till you're a miserable person. People don't want to be around you. Because you're bitter, you're miserable, you're not thankful. It just squeezes the life out of you. So get rid of it. How do you get rid of bitterness? Weapons of our warfare. Paul says to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. What does that mean? It means give thanks. It means be happy that you're God's child. It means look for every positive thing that you can. Don't worry about anything except pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. And what's going to happen? Verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts. What is the fruit of thanksgiving? What is the fruit of rejoicing? Our hearts are guarded from the monster, the poison of bitterness. And so, you don't need to be a superstar. You don't need to have a Bible education, a degree in theology, a master's in divinity. You just simply need to be a humble person who recognizes all of these sayings in the New Testament. Over and over and over again, we're just simply told to be thankful. So here's some exercise for you. The next time you see a police officer, I want you to walk up to them and say, thank you for serving in this community. When you see a principal of a school, I want you to walk up to them, your principal, I want you to walk up to them and say, thank you for serving in this school district. Bill Ziegler, thank you for serving in the Potts Grove School District, because I know what you put up with. And you're a tall man for living with that all the time. What about people in the ambulance? What about the borough officials? What about people in local restaurants? Do you tip? Well, I sure hope so. Who are these people waiting on you, and what kind of life do they have? Who are you thanking in this community for what they do? What about your teachers? There's a lot of teachers. How many of you teach school in here? A lot of hands. Thank you very much for doing a thankless job. Oftentimes, you're not thanked enough. Get in a habit of expressing appreciation for people who do things that often go unnoticed. Rejoice. What's your job every day? Part of your job as a Christian is rejoicing. Make a list of the positive qualities about the friends that you have. And find a way to say that to them. I know that some of you guys are thinking, I ain't doing that. You know, guys don't do that. Well, yes, they do. I'm not asking you to find a card with flowers on it. Okay? You know, maybe what you ought to do is grab a donut and a coffee and give it to someone and say, you know, I really appreciate your being my friend. And this is why I appreciate you. Rejoice. Get in a habit of being thankful. Because this is what you fight with. This is what you fight the fight with. You fight bitterness, you fight discontentment, you fight anger, you fight jealousy. Everyone in this room has a reason to be jealous else because something worked out for someone the way you wanted it to work out for you, and it didn't. Here's an exercise, a way to fight bitterness for you that are married. My wife and I do this once in a while. We will go away together or whatever, or we'll just be at home. And here we're going to play the Thanksgiving game. We've been married for 30 years. And so here's what we do. We each mention something that we're thankful for every single year of our marriage. So May 31st, 1986, that's when it all began for the Friedlands. And so 1986, what are you thankful for, Kathy? And she'll say something. And then, all right, I go, 1986. Well, it takes a while. And along the way, we're laughing hilariously at things we remember. And along the way, we cry sometimes. There are things that we regret. There are things that we wish we would have done differently. There are times when we get very serious and we just praise God because we see miracles. All right, 1986, 7, 88, 89, 90. 91, 92, please do that, husbands and wives. Please, please do that. Because what's going to happen is the bitterness and the resentment that you've stored up against each other is going to melt. It is going to be destroyed when you rehearse your story together in praise and worship to God. Okay, this is what I already know. Every single person who is married in this room, you struggle with bitterness towards your spouse in some way or another. You're just human. You're just like me. And that exercise will kill it. It will kill that bitterness. It will kill that discontent. It will allow you to rehearse your story and praise God. And before you know it, you're holding hands, you're hugging, you're dancing, you're on your way to Red Lobster. Okay? Why am I saying this? Because I've seen that movie before, people. I like how it ends. I just want you to be able to see the same ending. And it's a simple game. Now listen. I just saved you about $1,500 at a counselor. Okay? I guess that's my way of saying thank you for Pastor Appreciation Month. You know, I don't know if I could stand being appreciated anymore. It was a blessing. And I am grateful for that. I thank you. You know, people get degrees in psychology and psychiatry and they get PhDs. And you come in and you talk to them, and they give you simple games to play like that. No, I know it goes a little deeper than that. But if you get in a habit of praising God together as a family, and here's how you bless your children. You play that game as long as they can tolerate it with them, and you give thanks to God for them and all the years of their life. Now, by the time you get to the current situation, they may have left, but at least they know that you love them and you thank God for them. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. You see, William Faulkner was onto something. He said, gratitude is a quality similar to electricity. It must be produced and discharged and used up to even exist at all. That's true about electricity. And gratitude is just like it. I'm glad that early in our American history, men like Washington and Lincoln and Roosevelt thought it a good, wise thing to have a national holiday called Thanksgiving. Roosevelt evidently didn't like the messing around with the way Thursdays end up in November, so he just declared Thanksgiving's on the fourth Thursday in November, and that's this Thursday. And I'm glad that we have permission to slow down. I'm glad that many people have permission to cook. I'm glad that people have permission to bake. Wow, I'm glad we have permission to just enjoy a day together, whatever it is that you do. But I want you to know that Thanksgiving is much more than a day. Thanksgiving must be a spirit that we cultivate in our hearts, because we can beat bitterness. Here's what you need to understand, friends. It's not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. Amen? Okay? I'm just saying this because I care about you. And I don't want bitterness to steal any years in your life. I don't want bitterness to steal any season in your life. I want you to offer a thankful heart to God and let Him give you the receipt, which is a spirit of joy and rejoicing. Thanksgiving is a way of seeing. Just like bitterness is a way of seeing. And a way of poisoning. Thanksgiving is a way of seeing and a way of blessing and delighting. It is a way of seeing God when others don't. It is a way of seeing good when others won't. Thanksgiving is God's preventative maintenance plan for avoiding a bitter spirit and a hard heart. And that's why A.W. Tozer said this. He said, a thankful heart cannot be a cynical heart. It just can't be. G.K. Chesterton, he said this. He said, when we were children, we were grateful to those who filled our stockings at Christmas time. Why are we not grateful to God for filling our stockings with legs? Perspective, eh? Thanksgiving is simply a choice, in spite of it all. For the Christian, it is an attitude which leads to many good things in our lives. The Apostle Paul wrote his letters to the church from prison. The Apostle Paul, of all people, had reason to be bitter. He had committed no particular crime, but spent most of his Christian life in some kind of prison experience, in a dungeon, chained to a wall. He depended on friends to bring him food and water, and he depended on friends to bring him parchment and ink, and he wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it is Paul, from this hole, from this pit, from this wretched existence, it is Paul who writes of joy and thanks and peace and redemption and adoption and forgiveness. It is Paul who writes to the Philippians, consider it pure joy. You know, you should be thinking about these things, what is good and right and peace-loving and kind and tender. You should be thinking about these things, what is praiseworthy. It is Paul who said, let us be thankful. It is a man who had every reason to gripe to God. And yet he is the one who is giving us the testament of gratitude. And so in this church, I think it's important that we practice thanksgiving over bitterness, because it will make us a wonderful church. And I mean corporately, together, we're choosing thanksgiving over bitterness. And when people look at us and see us as a congregation, they will say, there's something about that group. There's something about these people. They have something that is worth having. They have something in their life which is beautiful. It's praiseworthy. What is it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ who gives us a thankful heart. It's the gospel which gives us reason to be full of hope. It's redemption. It's bread and juice, remembering the body and the blood of Jesus. Wow. This can change your relationships. This can change what goes on in your workplace. Do you realize that thankful people are much more productive in the workplace than bitter people? I'll tell you why. Bitterness has a way of gripping us and keeping us from paying attention to our tasks. Thanksgiving has a way of releasing us to focus. It infuses peace into our life, not tension, and we're able to focus. We're able to relate better. We're more creative because we're thankful. Bitterness just squeezes the life out of us. And so there are so many reasons why we should be thankful that actually benefit us in a myriad of ways. And so we have a choice. I'll ask the band to come up. And our choice is this simple. Are you going to drink from this bottle? Or will you, by God's grace, put it down and fight the fight. A fight that we are guaranteed to win, by the way, simply by using the weapons of our warfare, simply by making a choice. I choose thankful. Amen.